Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Terry Fletcher. That means that it is week 17 of the WTF podcast, What the Football, and we're going to talk about what happened around the league. Well, there was a lot, and I know that I'm still crying and still upset the fact that Ben is definitely on his way out. I know many of you are as well. I know he said most likely, but after what happened on Monday Night Football, just the emotion of all of it, just, you know, the fans filling up the stadium at over 60,000 was the grand total that I heard. And then just really seeing the fan respect of, you know, thank you, Ben, chance, and all the seven jerseys. Talk about what the football moment. I mean, you know, you have to think about a couple things about Ben and his 18-year career. And I'm sure Joe and Brian and Noah and everybody at SCU has probably commented on this on previous podcasts already this week. But, you know, there's no other quarterback that got this. Think about it. You know, TB12 or Tom Brady, he was in New England for 20 years, but then left. And there was a clear understanding that they were not going to renew or offer him a new contract. He was waiting to see who was going to reach out to him. He wanted, I think, from what I can read between the lines, was probably 49ers. They decided to stay with Garoppolo. And then he did get a reach out from Tampa Bay, and the rest is history. They did not send him off in the same way. You know, think of Drew Brees. He, you know, that was his second team in New Orleans, believe it or not. He started in San Diego. You know, Philip Rivers, he was drafted the same year as Ben in 2004. And he was in San Diego, but obviously now the LA Chargers, but those were San Diego times. And then went to Indy for his last year. Now he's coaching high school. Now there may have been kind of a tribute on maybe the big screen, but nothing like the ending that Ben got. I mean, even look at Eli Manning. He was benched by McAdoo, the coach at that time, for his last season. I mean, how embarrassing is that? Eli didn't deserve that. He had won two Super Bowls. He was a Manning. I mean, let's face it. And he started every game. He didn't have the injury history that a lot of quarterbacks do. And to do that to him in his 16th year was just really just awful. But then we get to 18 years with Ben, just the ups, the downs, the everything, and just to see the love and all of that. It was just a really emotional sight. And again, I'm still choking up about it because I absolutely adore Ben Roethlisberger, and I think it's going to be a tough offseason. I'm going to just put it out there what I'd like to see. And some of you may be thinking, what the football, Terry, but this is just what I'd like to see. I don't think Mason Rudolph is our answer. Now, my husband and I disagree as far as what may happen in 2022 season, that they may stick with him since he does have 1 year left on his contract. But talk about painful. Remember, it took us 20 years to find Ben, and then we kept him for 18 after Terry Bradshaw. And I didn't even watch the Steelers in the Terry Bradshaw days. That was way before my excitement for the Steelers. I came into it about a year before Ben was drafted. I was a Kansas City fan, actually. My only jersey that I bought in those days was a Joe Montana when he jumped ship from the 49ers. So just being a Steeler fan for the last 19 years and just absolutely dedicated to them, I just don't know what it's going to be. But I would like to see Marcus Mariota. He's a backup right now at the Raiders. Every time he goes in, he's dynamic. When he was with Tennessee, he started, and then Tannehill came in as a backup and just had a great year. And of course, they went with what they like to call the hot hand. And he's doing, you know, a good job over there. Definitely. I love Mike Vrabel, but they've all said wherever he's been, the two teams, is that he's a great locker room guy. He's a mobile quarterback. He knows what he's doing. And I just think he would be a phenomenal addition to at least compete with Rudolph for 2022. And yes, I've lost my mind and mentioned Joe Flacco a couple times. I realize he's on his way out and he's at the end of his career. But if all you're looking for is a pocket passer that has a great arm, he's definitely an upgrade from Rudolph. So just a couple things out there that the Steelers could afford. I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, we're going to go with Aaron Rodgers and he's coming to Pittsburgh. Guys, he's due, you know, $26 million in 2022. He wants a three-year minimum contract. He's only 17 months younger than Ben, and he's been in the league 17 years. So I don't see that happening. And not only that, from the grumblings we hear and from what he did at the beginning of the season, he is a definitely what the football personality kind of jerk off. I mean, do I listen to him on the Pat McAfee webinar or podcast every week? I do, because I think he's funny and he's insightful, but he's kind of, let's just say he's not a Pittsburgh guy. It doesn't seem like he's a Pittsburgh guy, even though he does give some love to Pittsburgh. But anyway, that was just a total what the football moment for Ben. And we can't say enough about how much we appreciate him in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be a tough short week. We need to win our last game, and we need the Colts to lose to the Jags to get into the playoffs. So if we can win against the Ravens, I don't know if Lamar Jackson's playing this week either with his high ankle sprain. Who knows? But we'll see what happens. It would be a nice way to kind of end the season with a win there, regardless of if we have playoff contention or not. So I hope that works. But let's take a look at week 17 in the NFL and just see, you know, what really happened out there. Well, the Saints. Okay, so that was an interesting game. 18-10 against the Panthers. They needed a win to keep their playoff hopes alive, and they did deliver a win. It was uninspiring against the Panthers, but they did do it. And basically, it was four field goals and a touchdown, and then they also had an interception sealing that game. But boy, you sit there and say, it doesn't matter how you win as long as you win, but it was an ugly one. And they're lucky to have Taysom Hill. I think that's why they re-signed him, for sure. You kind of lose Alvin Kamara in the translation on that team because of all their ups and downs that they've had. So then here's a what the football for them. They were having so many issues with injuries and who was going to play in COVID. They actually reached out to Drew Brees, who now is a media commentator for Sunday Night Football. So he's on the Sunday night desk, and he's like, yeah, no, thanks anyway, but no. But also, just back real quick to the Steelers farewell. You know, Ben didn't want a tour. He basically just alluded to the fact that this very well could be his, and you know, likely, I think is the word he used, his last game. But after that send-off, it's his last game. He wouldn't want to go through that again. And I don't think he's the Brett Favre of changing his mind. So we'll see. I just don't think so. He'll be 40 in March, and I think he's ready to be a dad full time and hopefully get out and do some golfing. Anyway, let's move forward with the rest of the week 17. So Justin Herbert, I know he is the media darling. He sets a franchise record. So definitely what the football. He's got 35 touchdowns for the season. And, they're still in it. Not barely, because they haven't had the best season, but they are still in it. But we'll see what they will be able to do. The kickoff return that they had, it was 101 yards. That's a total what the football moment. Andre Roberts ran it back on a return, and they eliminated the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Browns when they won. So that definitely was a wow moment. Now, the Texans had a chance to tie the game with a 45-yard field goal early in the fourth quarter against the 49ers, but they definitely had a interesting play because Trey Lance delivered a strike to Deebo Samuel for a 45-yard touchdown, and that's all she wrote there. So San Francisco definitely rebounded well to seal that deal there. You know, Houston, I don't know what's going on there. Now here's another what the football. This was in for the Broncos. So Denver basically didn't have anything that was going on, and they finally had their Brandon McManus guy that comes in for their kicker, and he drilled a 61-yarder through the uprights, and that's the longest conversion, not only of his 8 years in the league, but that's one of the longest field goals we've had out there in a long time. Ever since the, I'm still salty about this one, ever since the Justin Tucker one where they didn't call the delay of game for four extra seconds, he would never have had that 60-some yarder. But anyway, that's definitely a long what the football. But it's Denver, so, you know, you never know. unreal issues going on and just some fun football in the Arizona versus Dallas. Now, as a Steeler fan, we hate Dallas. I mean, we don't want Dallas to win anything. So luckily, Arizona came through. Now that my daughter lives in Arizona, she's a huge Arizona fan. We actually got them a Arizona Cardinal cornhole set for their Christmas gift, and they're so excited, her and her fiance. And so this was kind of cool, but we also had some fun things happen there, and that was what we call a What the Football Unreal Snag by Jonathan Ward. That's their running back. And he had his third career catch, and it reminded me of the David Tyree, New York Giants famous helmet catch, but it was crazy. He caught the ball, and he made it on a fake punt, pinning the ball against the defender's helmet as they both went to the ground and then flipped over. And I mean, if there was a judge's scorecard out there, he would have definitely got a 10 plus, but that was a definite fun thing to watch. And then also, as we go back to looking at Trey Lance, basically, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know what's going to happen to him, but as the 49ers is there, you know, Garoppolo's got now a thumb injury, and you just never thought that they bought into Garoppolo. You just never thought they did. And so it's just, it'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward with that whole organization out there. That's a total what the football. Now, we had some interesting things happen because a lot of us are still, or either in playoffs or still playing fantasy football. And anybody have Rashad Penny? No. And look at how many points he scored. What was it, like 30 points? And that is a running back for Seattle. And Seattle, it's pretty funny because they seriously, they're not consistent. So if you ever get Seattle players, that's going to be a really tough thing on your fantasy football, because one minute you've got Tyler Lockett who's scoring 20 and the next week he's not even targeted. And just the same thing with you know, all of their different players. So definitely tough on that one. And then what happened with the Bengals? So you know what? They clinched a win. They clinched the AFC North against Kansas City. Kansas City had one job. But at 3rd and 27, you're seriously just doing a one-on-one matchup instead of trying to get somebody down there. But they have a player that I don't care what football team is your favorite and that you're a fan of. You got to watch Ja'Marr Chase. He is such an entertaining, pass catcher. I mean, it's just crazy to me. And he just stands out everywhere, and he's so fun to watch. But they did end up winning 34-31 against Kansas City, which shows you some of the holes in Kansas City's defense. And we'll see how that all, you know, pans out as we move on with the playoffs. Now, one of the games that was actually, I don't want to say fun to watch because it was red zone channel time. I would never sit and watch a Buccaneer Jets game. Why would anybody do that unless you're a Tom Brady fanatic? But basically New York almost beat them. Seriously. I mean, they almost beat them, and Tom Brady was like, oh my gosh, I'm not in New England anymore. How is this even possible? But they definitely had a chance to seal that massive upset on 4th and 2 from the Bucs. But Zach Wilson was just stuffed with over 2 minutes left to play. And then you can probably guess what happened next. And I will comment on AB in a minute. But without any timeouts, Brady led the Buccaneers 93 yards on 9 plays. And then hit somebody called Cyril Grayson and for a 33-yard touchdown with just 15 seconds left to play. Just unbelievable. And I know everybody wants Aaron Rodgers, or a lot of people do, as the MVP. How can you not put 44-year-old Tom Brady in that conversation? But, you know, listening to that or watching that game from a clip standpoint on Red Zone Channel, it was interesting because all of a sudden I'm like, who's the person like streaking on their field right now? Well, Antonio Brown, again, who Tom Brady begged Bruce Arians to take over to their team, who's been riddled with injuries. Well, I'm air quoting that because from what I'm hearing now, the trainers say they're not as bad as he said they were. So we'll see how that pans out. Who basically was suspended a few games for that fake vaccine card scenario and misrepresenting his vaccination status. I think they word it that way so that in the middle of the game or the middle of the season, he's not tagged with a felony. And then just, you know, whining again for not getting the ball all the time. But he was told to go into that game. Bruce Arians said, he said, go in. And the trainers obviously had cleared him. He came off of, you know, being on IR and being on the injured list. And he's saying that his ankle still hurts. And, you know, you see him all of a sudden, he refused again. And all of a sudden you see him taking off his shirt, taking off his pads, throwing them into the stands and running. Okay, where's the ankle problem? And waving his arms in the air as the game is going on. There, you can hear the speaker at the stadium saying third down. And you hear see Antonio Brown running off the field, trying to engage the crowd, waving his arms and basically running down the field. There's no ankle issue if you watch it. And basically going inside, changing his clothes and getting an Uber. He decided to leave. He quit. And it was just something you just can't even believe. I mean, even with AB and his clown antics, you're just like, what the heck, dude? What the football? I mean, it was just absolutely crazy and it went viral for sure. Brady said he didn't see it until the end. I was told about it, but I find that hard to believe. You can even see Mike Evans going over and going, dude, calm down, just go in or whatever. And he was having nothing of it. He just basically stripped down and threw it into the stands and ran off the field, got an Uber. Then his Uber driver decided to put a viral video there saying that he's got a Netflix series coming on. And apparently AB was there for a basketball game and just rode around town. So whatever people want to say about his mental health or acuity or whatever, the narcissism there and the self-importance over everybody else is not a mental condition. That's just somebody who is obnoxious. So he may have some mental issues, but that aside, he, you know, when you're running out and you don't care about anybody else, that's crazy. Now on the flip side, again, the flip the switch, he did send a very nice, sweet message on Twitter to Ben about just always a competitor and he couldn't be where he was without him. And so for someone that ignored Ben's text when he, you know, left the team and was being kind of a jerk, to send that message we have to, you know, give him a little bit of a shout out for that. But the antics, oh my goodness. And the words of Bruce Arians, he is no longer a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So we'll see what happens. I know some of you are like, well, he's still on their roster. The reason is, first of all, you cannot fire somebody on a Sunday. I found that out looking at the rules. And secondly, if they do release him, he is free to go to another team. And as obnoxious as he is, there are teams that could use his talent. He's a very talented receiver, as we all know. And so I know that they're trying to find a way where he can't go to another team in the playoffs, because I could see him doing that. So anyway, either way, I would think his time is done in the NFL. We'll see what happens. So what else is going on? Well, how about the Raiders? Well, the referees, so of course, Hunter Renfrow was on my fantasy list, and he had a touchdown and the go-ahead, and then they overturned it by the refs. Of course they did. Said he was down by contact. But you know what? The Raiders actually pulled it off. They win in versus Indianapolis, and now all they have to do is win to get in. And you know, one of the things with Indianapolis, we need them to lose against the Jaguars. Jaguars are just a joke of a team right now, but they have lost against them several times. So we'll see what actually comes through with that. That's going to be interesting. Odell Beckham, you kind of see flashes of him now that he's with the Rams. But he helped them out for sure take the lead this weekend. So he on 4th and 5 with the game on the line, Matthew Stafford, who's been struggling with interceptions lately, found Beckham for a first down. And then on the very next play, he went to him again with 61 seconds left to play, go ahead touchdown, and they beat Baltimore. And I was jumping up and down because now Baltimore is out of it. So, well, technically they're not, but they're more out of it than we are. So hopefully we can beat them again the last game of the season. Now, one of the things that was really funny for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati game is that in his post, their post little party or celebration in the locker room, you see him with, you know, a cigar and dancing around. And, you know, he cracks me up. He's kind of a cool guy. You wouldn't look at him to think so. He seems like kind of that little boy, Dennis the Menace or Opie Taylor. You see, I'm aging myself now. You know, that guy, the little kid next door, just, you're like, how is he in the NFL? But he's really coming into his own, and what a great talent they found for the Bengals. But one thing he said in his post-presser, he said, F it, I figured that Ja'Marr Chase was somewhere back there. So he basically threw it up, and sure enough, he was. And Ja'Marr Chase made an excellent catch, and then they win that game. So just crazy, actually, when you look at some of those things, especially because Jamar Chase, you know, 3 touchdowns, 180 yards, 6 catches. I mean, come on, talk about just a talent that you're thinking, what in the heck is that? And then you have to give it to the Patriots. You realize that the NFL purchased DraftKings as their fantasy football, you know, marquee thing. So that they're now affiliated with that, which to me, I keep talking to my husband about this and I'm like, you know, Tom, how is that not a conflict of interest? But that said, he's like, no, it's about fees. It's not about slanting the game. And I'm like, I'm not sure about that if you've got owners invested, but okay. But here's what I think about the Patriots with that. They're constantly using players who nobody picks up. I mean, Christian Wilkerson, who's that? 4 catches, 2 touchdowns. Okay. How many times do you sit there and there's like, oh, Christian Wilkerson caught the ball. Or like we said, the Cyrus guy in Tampa Bay, and you look over at somebody else who's playing and like, yeah, I bet you picked him up. They're like, who? Yeah, thanks a lot. But whatever. I mean, you know, the Pats were just all over the Jags and they made it a stomping, you know, going in for that 50 burger. And you're just like, wow, that is absolutely crazy that they would do that. So, but you have to know the history of New England and just know that's what they do. That's just what they do. Now, one thing that you have to be really careful of with, or I should say Matt Stafford is going to have to be careful of, is that he leads the season with pick sixes. It's one thing to be intercepted, but he's got 4 pick sixes in this season. And so he's going to have to fix some things for the Rams to be able to go far in the playoffs. So it's really sad because boy, did he start off strong. He started off so strong this year and they were like, look what we did. We're awesome. And so it's going to be interesting to see. So in closing for the, what the football, well, let's just take a look. So you know what, let's take a look in the future. The Chiefs, they're actually favored 10 at Denver Broncos. They do have, you know, if they have any chance to get the top seed, they have to win that game. They're coming off, you know, that loss to the Bengals. The defense kind of let them down there, but if Denver can't score, then Chiefs should win that game. And I do pick them to win. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. The Cowboys, oh my goodness. Now the Eagles are dealing with COVID issues. The Cowboys, they usually play to win, but they haven't looked very good on offense. And even though they've clinched some things, they're both in the playoffs. Seeding is still at stake. So we'll see what happens as far as who's going to be sat. For those of us that actually have a week 18, I have 2 fantasy games and one I'm playing for first place and one I'm, we just play to the end. Who knows who's going to be sat. It looks like in the Cleveland game against Cincinnati, both, it looks like Baker Mayfield's not going to play because he's going to have surgery on his shoulder. And then Joe Burrow said he's been told he's probably not going to play there. So that'll be a backup game. But what about Green Bay? So they're, you know, -2 at Detroit and they could sit guys because with the top seed, you know, wrapped up in for Green Bay, who knows what they will do. And it's Detroit, you know, Detroit is looking bad again. But they could have Jared Goff this week and somehow the Lions could hang around. I don't know. If they don't play Aaron Rodgers, then that means that he's going to have 3 weeks off. And sometimes that makes you a little rusty. We saw how he came out of the season the first week. So who knows what's going to happen. Now, here's the game I'm interested in. This is going to wrap it up for me. The Colts want to get into the playoffs and the Jaguars are heading for a vacation after this terrible season. They traditionally play the Colts tough, though. And their offense is terrible. And Jonathan Taylor has had some really big days against the Jaguars. And I just have a feeling it's going to be a blowout. But there's one thing, don't bet on them. The Indianapolis Colts are favored by 15.5. I would basically say, you know what? Whatever. We'll see. Pittsburgh Steelers at Baltimore Ravens. We're underdogs at 5.5. We're still alive, but it's a long shot. Again, we need to win this game and we need the Colts to lose. So what is my prediction going in? You probably all think, what the football? I think it's going to be Steelers 28, Ravens 21. So I think it'll be a decent scoring game. I think Ben's going to give his last game all it's got. And I hope everyone on the Steelers comes out like they did Monday night and gives it all they have for our last season game regular season game with our quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. So everyone, thanks for listening to What the Football podcast, Steel City Underground. This is Terry Fletcher. Until week 18, where we wrap it up, everyone, make it a great day and a great week, and thank you for listening.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.